come fly with me.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, you know, if you've missed any part of today's show, you can go to travelers411.com, click on podcasts. Every show is podcast. Generally speaking, the podcasts go up about 72 hours, usually by Tuesday, Wednesday of the week after the weekend that the show airs. At travelers411.com, click on podcast, and you can determine what shows you want to download. For 52 weeks, they're available for download. If you go to S. Abrams, S-A-B-R-A-M-S.com, my first initial and last name. And on the homepage, we feature for 2 to 3 months all of the shows, both Travelers 411 and Travel with Stephanie Abrams, the radio shows, so you can see who the guests are. If you're looking for an older show or something specific in mind, go into the search box, put in the name of the destination or the name of the person or the venue we were visiting, and you'll get links to every time we've ever had them on. If it's more than 52 weeks since they were broadcast, then you will find them in the archived audio. And on the right side of the homepage in that dark blue box that says On Air Quick Links, you can scroll down for podcasts and archived audio and whatever. Go have fun at the websites. There's lots of good stuff. And one of the reasons there's lots of good stuff is that we go to lots of great places and interview wonderful people who are the true experts, the ones who live there, come from there, know the place inside and out, the ones who are responsible for the visitor experience. And, you know, you're not, this is one of the reasons people ask me, why don't I have this one on who wrote a book or that one who wrote an article? You know, if I want one person's opinion, I'll give my own. I don't need to ask somebody else for their opinion. If I'm going to present somebody to you, I want that person to truly be an expert on what we're talking about because they live it and they breathe it and they are passionate about it and they understand it. And it's not just, well, it was okay or I liked it or I didn't like it, because I have to tell you something. There are places that maybe I don't like so much that you're going to adore. So, you know, I bring you places that I believe if you go there, you will come home enriched, enhanced, inspired, and uplifted, and somehow know you are a better person because of the experience you just had. You know, I don't golf, but we talk about golf all the time. I don't scuba dive. We have people on to talk about doing just that. So, you know, I know things that I believe we have audience members who are going to connect with these ideas and these travel opportunities. But, you know, to have somebody come on and just tell you what they think, not so much. And with that in mind, I'm going to introduce you to somebody that I've grown to know and love. I don't get to talk to often enough because she is much too busy. And I'm hoping that the next time I'm in New York City, or I'm in the beautiful country of Malta on one of their exquisite islands, I have a chance to be there at the same time she's there. So we're going to talk with Michelle Buttigieg, who is the U.S. representative for Malta Tourism Authority. And we're going to do that right after this.
This weather report is brought to you by the Curaçao Tourism Board. The long-range weather forecast for the north coast-to-coast calls for snow, sleet, icy rain, slippery roads, and a wind chill factor well below freezing. The long-range forecast for Curaçao calls for warm and sunny today, warm and sunny tomorrow, next month, and the months that follow, with highs around 86 degrees and lows around 76. Isn't it time to plan your breakaway in Curaçao now? Learn more at Curaçao.com. That's Curaçao.com.
Okay, so the woman I have on the line with me, who you, if you haven't heard her on before, if you go to sabrams.com or travelers411.com, or if you're listening, driving in some radio market where you're out of town or something, you've never heard us before, and by the time you get where you're going, you've forgotten who was that woman, go to Google and just put in radio show travel expert. Those four words, radio show travel expert, and you cannot lose me. I dominate the first 10 results. And what I find fascinating is that there is someone in South Bend, Indiana, who is the mayor of a town who I am hoping we are going to get on the air with us, who I knew was Maltese before I knew anything else about him as a candidate for president of the United States, because his last name is, although he doesn't know how to pronounce his last name, I'm going to have to teach him. Isn't that right, Michelle? He thinks...
Well, there's different variation of our last name. It is quite a mouthful. So
there are a lot. I had to learn to say it. What's confusing is not saying it. What's confusing is looking at how it's spelled and then trying to pronounce it. But it's pronounced Buttigieg, and this poor man thinks his name is Buttigieg. So, what happened there?
In fairness, in Maltese, it's pronounced Buttigieg.
How do you
but
like
when,
that?
But when you're here and you say Buttigieg to someone, they'll just look at you and then look at you a little bit more and look at you a little bit more. So, it's pronounced here in a way that can be somewhat spelt. So we say Buttigieg. And there's, again, different variation. If you live on Park Avenue, New York, it's pronounced Buttigieg. There's variety
and that's what
we have to give Mayor Pete a break on this one.
Yeah, well, you know, and so the Park Avenue people also only shop in Target as opposed to Target.
But in Malta, it's Buttigieg. So he, from what I know, is that his father has Maltese origin. And
I knew that right away.
His last name.
It's funny because when I saw the name, I knew Maltese. And I went online, and I don't think I had to go through more than one article until it came up.
Yes. It's going to make my last name very popular, hopefully, for him.
Well, you've made your last name very popular for me because I fell in love with you the first time we met at the Burnick Hotel in New York City. And this past January was 2 years. And I just feel like you're a member of the family.
Likewise.
Oh, that's very sweet. You're just such a special and interesting and wonderful person. So
I think
our association.
It's embedded in our DNA as well. As Maltese people, we're so hospitable. If you visited Malta, and you can say that you're a great ambassador. One of the biggest assets, apart from 7,000 years of history, are the people. You meet people that you make friends with, and you have plenty of stories that you make friends with. People are so hospitable.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because in the last hour, I was talking about a run-in in a parking lot that was very disturbing to me and would never have happened in Malta because the person next to me would have been a gentleman and kind and friendly and had a sense of humor and who knows what. But, it's an interesting thing when you talk about, people being warm and kind. The other thing I talked about was, when you travel somewhere where people don't speak English, and while it is because of the 160 or 180-year occupation of the British in Malta, that just about everybody who may speak Maltese also speaks English very well. So that makes your visitor experience a heightened one because, you can actually communicate with people further than, like in Germany, our German vocabulary is limited to Haben Sie ein Freizimmer and Haben Sie Hablida Bier bitte. if you can get past ordering in the restaurant and getting yourself a hotel room, you think you did good. But there's something special about being able to really get to know people and have them be interested in you as much as you are interested in them.
Yes, we actually, a fun fact is that the two official languages in Malta are Maltese and English, two languages that are completely different. People ask, you know, what is Maltese? You know, Maltese, it's one of the only semi-Semitic languages left in the world. Okay. So it's derived from ancient Aramaic, Arabic, and lots of Latin, and it's written in Roman letters. And then your English, and as you said, I would say 99% of the people in Malta speak English. And it makes the experience different. You're not going to waste any time trying to communicate. It's easier, and it gives you the opportunity to interact with the locals and live like one, because you can actually communicate, which is a beautiful thing.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come out back to find out what's new and happening and what's old and happening and what's glorious and happening in Malta. Probably one of my very favorite destinations in the world. And a place you've got to put on your 2019 travels, people. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
Let's go again to Niagara.
The magic is happening at Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass. One of New England's most popular attractions, the village is a unique, entertaining world of fun, fantasy, food, and fragrance for the whole family. It's also the world's largest candle shop, where kids and grown-ups can make their own candles. The village is home to the enchanting Black Forest, where it snows year-round. Santa's Workshop, where he welcomes visitors every day of the year. And the Bavarian Christmas Village, filled with sparkling holiday ornaments. In addition to over 400,000 candles, you'll find toys, gifts, and more from great names like Pandora and Vera Bradley. And with tasty treats from Yankee Candy, Fresh Fudge, and Popcornopolis, every day is a holiday. Or sit down with the family for a wonderful meal at the award-winning Chandler's Restaurant. Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass., where families come for the candles and stay for the fun. Take the Mass Pike to I-91, exit 24.
Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Ah, Curacao. The Dutch island with Caribbean and South American flavors blended to tantalize taste buds of foodies, connoisseurs of fine liqueurs, seekers of secluded sandy beach coves for lovers, and lovers of water sports, history buffs seeking European immersion in world history and its UNESCO Heritage City. Shopping for the most sophisticated brand seekers and unique creative handcrafts of Curacao's artists and artisans. With challenging Lynx golf courses, including one voted 2018's best golf course in the Caribbean by USA Today, and an island with world-class sightseeing experience in abundance. Sun and sand? Lots of it. Year-round, wrapped in warm breezes. Curacao has everything you want on your next holiday. Visit Curacao.com and visit Curacao. A warm welcome awaits you. That's Curacao.com.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me is Michelle Buttigieg. She is the U.S. representative from Malta for Malta Tourism Authority. And, you know, I'm hoping that if you don't know much about Malta, you, first of all, go and visit our website, because we've got lots of photos and we've got all kinds of stories and archived audio with people that we have done interviews with, both in Malta and by telephone. So check out when you get to sabrams.com or travelers411.com, put the word Malta, M-A-L-T-A, into the search box. And you'll get links to photos and archived audio. And some of it has been done in the last 12 months, so it will be in podcast. You'll be able to download it. Anything that's older than 52 weeks, you'll find archived, so you can still listen to it, but you won't be able to download it and take it with you. So, Michelle, what's cooking in Malta that we need to know about? I mean, I think we really, for people that they're listening for the first time, you know, they're really not connected to what Malta is about. By the way, people, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, which you'll find archived online, and you'll find at biztv.com, as well as clicking over from sabrams.com to Travel TV, was episode one. And that'll give you some good insights. But we arrived on March 4th, 2017. We left on March 9th. It wasn't enough time. It wasn't enough time. There are so many things we didn't get to see and do that, you know, when people think, well, I know the first time I was in Malta, we were on a ship and we spent about 6 or 8 hours in port. And that's when I got my first taste of what I was missing. So give us first just an overview of what is Malta?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people 5 years ago when we reopened our office here asked, where is Malta? So, you know, we start with, you know, we are located in the middle of the Mediterranean, just south of Sicily. So it has the flavors of the Mediterranean with 7,000 years of history. And as we mentioned before, great people. Of course, with all of that history comes good culture, great life, and good food, which are also very important for the Maltese as a nation. We've opened our office here about 5 years ago, and I'm happy to say that the numbers for 2018 just came out, and we are one of the fastest growing markets, when I say we, the North Americans, fastest growing market for Malta, hitting for nearly now over 50,000 visitors. When 5 years ago it was only 19,000. So, you know, the Americans are hearing more about us. I think what attracts most North Americans is the history, the location, the fact that it is English-speaking, no need for visas, and still considered as a kind of safe haven, exotic Mediterranean destination. And one of the biggest perks as well, it's easy to get to. No direct flights, but, you know, you can get to Malta through any major hub in Europe. So with all those aspects, it makes Malta very inviting and attractive, and has been in the last 5 years when we're getting more attention.
People, there are inexpensive fares to Dublin. Really inexpensive fares, especially at this time of year. And once you're in Dublin, you can fly with Ryanair, which is what we did. And it gives you a chance also to spend a little time in Ireland if you care to do that. But it's a great way to connect to Malta. And if you're, you know, interested in being able to live lavishly on the ground for fabulous hotels and dine well. And, you know, there's every level of accommodation. But if you can save some on that airfare, you'll have more to spend on and invest in your experience on the ground. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back. You brought so many wonderful memories to mind just in those couple of sentences that you shared with us. We'll be right back. So much more to talk about Malta. This is Stephanie Abrams. Don't leave me.
It's oh so nice to go traveling, but it's so much nicer. Yes, it's so much nicer to come home. It's very nice to just wander the camel route to Iraq. It's oh so nice to just wander, but it's so much nicer, yes, it's oh so nice to wander back. The mamsels and fräulein and the senoritas are sweet. But they can't compete, 'cause they just don't have what the models have.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me is the U.S. representative for Malta Tourism Authority, based in New York City, who is Maltese and whose husband is Maltese as well, as is evidenced by her last name, Buttigieg. And it is Michelle Buttigieg that we have on the line. You've mentioned 7,000 years of history in Malta a couple of times, and I didn't know whether I should bring it up, I shouldn't bring it up, because I'm sure probably the majority of all things that happened are 7,000 years old, making them older than the pyramids. But I had the pleasure of visiting the exhibits at, which fort was it? It wasn't Fort St. Elmo. It's the other one. Fort St. Angelo.
Okay.
And there is a marvelous exhibit there that I was also encouraged to visit, not just by you, Michelle, and by the people at the Malta Tourism Authority based in Malta, but by my good friend Mark Leslie, whose company based in Ireland. I used to say based in Dublin, but he hates that because they're actually based in Dunleary, which is like a suburb of Dublin. It's in County Dublin, but hey, anyway. It's called Martello Media, and what his company does is create and install amazing visitor centers. And when you go there, the story begins with people from Carthage 11,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with that?
Well, you know, we say 7,000 years of history because our megalithic temples that were discovered on the island, nobody knew anything about.
Those
and when
the ones
I say nobody,
Gozo,
not the Maltese. I'm talking about scholars that came to visit. So it's a civilization that no one knew much. You know, they didn't know much about. So in Malta, they discovered this kind of new religion, and it shows that in these megalithic temples, most of the goddess—it's actually a goddess. Goddess's statue, so they were on the right track because they worshipped women. So what a great civilization.
Go them!
So, you know, that's why actually recently we've been seeing a lot of a big increase on like wellness travel and spiritual travel. A lot of people visit the temples on summer solstice or winter solstice, and according to the lights and how it's hit, there are holes that you can find in the megalithic temples that reflect a certain way. So there's like a whole aura around it, and it's very mysterious. So 7,000 years of history, starting from temples that are even older than the pyramids of Giza or Stonehenge, up to all the way to the British colony and more recent us, Malta, being part of the EU and thriving as a destination that is successful economic-wise and for sure, as you said, worth traveling. So the history reflects a lot of different civilizations. And I think that's what's interesting, because all these civilizations left such a great, very visible footprint that you can see in the buildings, in the food, in the people, in the way we live. And you can still see and touch them, which is something that is, you know, makes it very unique.
Well, the megalithic temples you're talking about, are they on the island of Gozo?
There are actually on both islands. So you have one temple that is found on Gozo, which is called Gigantia. It's found in the village of Shara. They say that it's one of the oldest ones. And then you have the other megalithic temples that are found in Malta, one of which is the Hypogeum, which is one of the few subterranean megalithic temples.
Wow. We were supposed to go to visit the temples in Gozo, but it was very windy, and the water was choppy, and we were flying home the next day, and there was concern that they might cancel the ferry and we'd miss our flight the next day.
Right.
So we left earlier so that wouldn't happen, and we didn't get to see it. But I got to go back. I mean, I got to go back. And, you know, you also mentioned spiritual travel, but there's the Trail of St. Paul.
Of course,
that goes through Malta as well.
Yeah, well, part of our history is that Malta is the island of St. Paul, dedicated to St. Paul, which happened to be the feast February 10th, which happened to be last Sunday. Huge feast in Malta because he's the patron saint. And there's a huge festa, which is these celebrations that the Maltese do throughout the year, mostly in the month of summer, starting early, late May to October. Every village is dedicated to a patron saint, and they do these festas where people go out. There's local food, there's the band procession, the procession with the saint, the decoration of the village, and everyone comes out together. And, of course, fireworks. We love fireworks.
Who doesn't? So,
St. Paul was shipwrecked on his way to be beheaded in Rome. He got shipwrecked on the islands of Malta, where he stayed for a while and brought the so-called new religion back then to a pagan Maltese nation. Post-Roman Empire. So, the islands are dedicated to St. Paul. There are still what we call St. Paul's Island, very small islands, where it is said to be where the shipwreck happened. But it's pretty, as you said, it's a religious pilgrimages because there's a lot of tours that follow the footprints of St. Paul. And it takes you to Turkey, to Malta, to Rome. There's definitely lots to see with over 350 churches in such a small area, cathedrals of each form and size.
Well, the first time I was in Malta, we were on a ship, and we had, I don't know, 6 or 8 hours or something, during which we took an excursion, a guided tour with other people that were on the ship. It was a really interesting trip because it was a recognition for the best customers of Holland America Cruise Line. And I was executive vice president of a company that was one of their best customers. I mean, we gave them millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars of business yearly. And so they invited, as an incentive trip, representatives, key people from, I don't know, maybe 50 to 75 companies. And I was among those invited to go. And one of the places on this 12-day Mediterranean cruise that we made port was in Malta. And I fell in love with Malta that day, and I felt so cheated. Because when you get to a destination that offers so much, and all you don't get dinner, you only get the hors d'oeuvre, you know? You get the Ritz cracker with tuna version. I felt so cheated. I so did not want to get back on that ship because this place is it is the big diamond in the crown of jewels that you will find in and along the Mediterranean. Just an amazing place. And so I was so happy that we had the opportunity to go back and really invest time there. And in spite of that, I thought 5 or 6 days was going to be plenty. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't enough. There are things that we didn't get to do. There are things I would like, that we just, touched the surface of. And, when you talked about food, there is a lot of influence of North African food, like Moroccan flavors, of French flavors, of Italian flavors, and there is such a sense of a Rococo architecture, you know, really over the top, exquisite architecture, that Malta almost feels like it fell in the sea from somewhere else, you know, like from outer space. It as a microcosm of the best of so much that Europe has to offer in one place, including phenomenal weather. We were there March 4 to March 9. Most places in the world, even most of Europe, the weather is not so much. You don't go for the weather. But it was gorgeous and sunny, and we went to the beach. And, you know, I never wore more than a t-shirt. Visit Malta.com. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
The magic is happening at Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass. One of New England's most popular attractions, the village is a unique, entertaining world of fun, fantasy, food, and fragrance for the whole family. It's also the world's largest candle shop, where kids and grown-ups can make their own candles. The village is home to the enchanting Black Forest, where it snows year-round. Santa's Workshop, where he welcomes visitors every day of the year. And the Bavarian Christmas Village, filled with sparkling holiday ornaments. In addition to over 400,000 candles, you'll find toys, gifts, and more from great names like Pandora and Vera Bradley. And with tasty treats from Yankee Candy, Fresh Fudge, and Popcornopolis, every day is a holiday. Or sit down with the family for a wonderful meal at the award-winning Chandler's Restaurant. Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass., where families come for the candles and stay for the fun. Take the Mass Pike to I-91, exit 24.
Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
You know, before I started talking with Michelle Buttigieg, the representative to the U.S. for Malta Tourism Authority and the wonderful destination that is Malta, I said to our executive producer, what was that film that was just out recently that I saw, I told you about, that was, I saw Malta in it, and nobody had any memory or whatever, and then I remembered it was The Promise. Yeah, in the film The Promise, about the Turks, the genocide of the Armenians, something they still don't stand up to and admit to today. It's a beautiful story, people, because it's done as a love story. And it's a love triangle between a woman and two men. And the whole story of the chaos of that period is told through these characters and this love story. Beautifully done, The Promise. And it's on Netflix and whoever and whatever, you know, Redbox. So you go get it. You've got to see it. There's a scene near the end where the journalist is with the admiral of the French fleet. And I think it was shot on a boat, on a ship. And the guy on the left is the journalist. It's over just to the... When you're looking at the screen, just to the left of the left side of his body, which is actually the right side of his body, but you're looking at it, you will see in a fleeting moment Fort St. Angelo. And if you've ever been there, you know the place. I knew exactly. I learned later Turkey would not let them film it in Turkey. So they filmed it in Malta. And that happened, too, with the Billy Hayes story, Midnight Express. Turkey wouldn't let them film it in Turkey, so it was filmed in Malta. When our good friend Narsi Kalamata was the head of the Malta Film Commission. But are there other films out there?
Well, it's very interesting, Stephanie, because you mentioned before in the program that Malta looks like something out of everywhere and it fell out of the sky. And I think that's the infrastructure and the buildings and the people allows Malta to be something else. So that's why a lot of movies are being filmed in Malta. Recently, in the past 10 years, it really boomed.
What are some of them?
One of my favorites is The Count of Monte Cristo.
When was that made?
I actually not exactly sure. Like early 2000s. I don't know the exact year, but okay. It's with Jim Caviezel.
Okay, so this is an account of Monte Cristo, like from the 1940s or something.
Yeah, it's Alfred Dumas' famous story. It actually happened to be my favorite book. Alfred Dumas is one of my favorite authors. And then, of course, it was filmed in Malta. And, of course, Jim Caviezel is so easy on the eyes as well. So it just all the combination. But it really depicts Malta says versus Marseille, but it's really the Grand Harbor. Or
how do you like that?
And then there's movies like Troy, big epic Gladiator, all filmed in Malta. And the Malta Film Commission is actually really doing an amazing job in bringing these big productions to Malta because it's reflects on the island. You could see Malta, sometimes not as Malta, but you could still see how beautiful Malta is and photogenic the islands are. So it's a great combination. It's also the Valletta Film Festival that happens once a year, do an array of events throughout the year. And I was so excited to hear that in summer they do these like open air movie screening. And they do, let's say, a movie that's being shot in that particular place. You see it where it's being shot. So it's really exciting if you're visiting in the summer. In the summer season, check out our events calendar or go to the Valletta Film Festival website, and you could see where these movies are being screened. I think that's very exciting.
Very exciting. Well, we've just run out of time. And by the way, I speak French fluently, and everything we studied was in French. We studied operas. We studied des écrivains, des philosophes, the writers, the philosophers, everybody. And one of my favorite French stories, which is clearly available in English by Guy de Maupassant, is called The Necklace. It's a short story. If you don't know it, get it in English if you don't speak French and read it. And if you can read French, read it in French. It's fabulous. The Necklace by Guy de Maupassant. And there is a bibliotheca, a library in Malta that will blow you away. You have to come back more often, my darling. Thank you all for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
Come back next week. Gotta fly now.
Lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.